The scripture reading this morning is in connection with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We begin our reading in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 13. We'll start at verse 13. Verse 13 is a sudden interruption of our Lord Jesus as he is preaching a sermon about the soul being ready for the day of judgment. Luke chapter 12, verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns, and will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches and no moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. We'll stop at that portion, at that verse, asking God to bless the portion that we read to our hearts. And I would ask that you page with me through a few of the Psalms, beginning in the back of the Psalter, back of the Psalms, Psalm 147, the verse that Jesus referred to in Luke 12, verse 24. We sang Psalter 402 from this psalm, verse 9. Psalm 147, verse 9, He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Psalm 106, verse 7, referring to God. 146, verse 7, Who executeth judgment for the oppressed, who giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseneth the prisoner. Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16, The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand, and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. Psalm 62, Psalm 62 is referred to as the only psalm because of the repetition of the word only. He only is my rock, and so on. But now verses 10 and 11. Psalm 62, verse 10, Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto the Lord. One more psalm, Psalm 55, verse 22. We sang also this verse this morning. Psalm 55, verse 22, Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We read now the Catechism explanation of the fourth petition in Lord's Day 50. And you'll find that on the bottom of page 26. The bottom of page 26 in your Psalter. Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question 125, What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fourth petition, as all of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition puts us to a test to examine ourselves. Do you and I know in our heart that it is the Lord who has given us all that we have? Your bicycle, your breakfast, your home and all that it contains, your wealth and all of its investments, your clothes, your toys, your prosperity, or what you consider to be your need. That the hand of God has reached out and placed this into our hands. Do we therefore, as the Catechism says, when it boils it all down to one statement, place our trust alone in God for all the things of this earthly life? Do we live a life without anxiety and without greed? Are we thankful for all that God has given? Are we appreciative? Do we, of all people on earth, know what the value of a crust of bread is? Are we demanding or thankful? Do we use everything that God has placed into our hands as His children, remembering the first three petitions to glorify His name, to have His dominion, His kingdom rule over us, and to do His will? Are we satisfied? Are we free from jealousy? Or are we self-reliant and worried about tomorrow? It puts us to a test. Israel in the wilderness flunked the test. They flunked the test when God gave it to them again, and they flunked again and again and again. When Israel had no food for tomorrow, they had been fed that day, but they had no food for tomorrow or no water, they accused God of hating them and bringing them out into the wilderness to kill them. When God supplied all of their need repeatedly, and indeed when God gave them quail up to about 2.5-3 feet of quail, they forgot the Lord. They gorged themselves. They wanted more. They hoarded it unto themselves. They grumbled. They lusted. They were guilty of unbelief. They failed. A widow in the Old Testament from Zidon, the widow of Zarephath, passed the test by God's grace. For she was out one morning gathering sticks to make a fire to take the last little handful full of meal and the few drops of oil and make for herself and for her son first, the last little cake that they had. They would eat it and they would have no more. And the prophet said, make for me first and then for the child. And she trusted. And she trusted every day from then on. She would make for the prophet. And then it would be empty. And she would begin each day with her little boy. And she did not rattle it off. Maybe this morning your children rattled it off without thinking. She didn't do that. She said, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Bless this food for Jesus' sake. And then when she was done praying, she went, and the meal was there, and the oil was there. She trusted alone in God. Do we? When obedience, as God's stewards, call us to turn down earthly work, Sunday work. When obedience and gratitude to God calls us to give to Him first for the needs of His kingdom and the Christian schools. When God has supplied our needs, but God has given to others more than we, are we jealous? This commandment puts us to the test of our faith. And we're here this morning that God would teach us anew to put our trust alone in our Heavenly Father, who has promised to provide us with our need. I've chosen the title for the sermon, The Raven's Cry. The Raven's Cry is taken from Psalm 147, verse 9. He giveth to the beasts their food and young ravens which cry. That was the verse that the Lord quoted in His sermon that we read in Luke 12. Consider the ravens. that struck me as I read that scripture this past week. Consider the ravens. We would call a raven a crow. We're told by ornithologists that the young raven is pushed out of the nest when the parent believes it old enough to care for itself, and the mother refuses from that point on to catch any food for that raven. And he flies out, this little raven, they fly out and they squawk and they croak. Now a raven is not like a cardinal with a beautiful song, or like a dove, or even for that matter like a sparrow. Nothing pleasing to a raven's croaking. A raven is not particularly a pretty bird. It is opportunistic and greedy. God said not he hears the cardinals, the mourning dove's cry. He does. But he said he hears the raven's cry. Our cry. I thought of that word raven sometimes about our prayers. We worry how our prayers sound to the ears of others, that it be sweet and melodious as the cardinal or other birds. The raven just croaks out of his need to God, and God hears him. And you, poor, trembling, unworthy child of God, you croak to him in your prayers, and he hears you, and he will give you what you need. The raven's cry, give us this day our daily bread. We're praying, first of all, for our needs. The Catechism is very plain on that point. Catechism tells us that in the fourth petition, Jesus is teaching us that God would supply to us the necessity of the body, says the Catechism, and bread for today. So now, let's clear up at the beginning a few of the misconceptions and misunderstandings about this petition. First of all, the understanding must be on the word bread. And the Catechism, as I said, is very plain. Bread refers to the necessity of the body for this day. That's what the Lord means. We say that because some want to immediately spiritualize this petition, and some, with a view, not a Christian view of the body, and not a Christian view, per se, of the things of this life, but these are Christians who have really a worldly view of those things. They're still confused. And they would say that it's not very spiritual. It's not a very spiritual thing. It's rather carnal. If you're concerned about earthly things and your body, and they say the bread that Jesus is referring to is Christ, they immediately quote, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so when he said, give us this day our daily bread, he's saying, give us spiritual life in Christ. Give us Christ. And of course, who wants to argue with that? Of course, we pray every day for Christ himself, the bread of life. But the Lord means here bread, earthly necessity. For as I said, the notion is based not on a Christian view of things or of the body, but of a worldly view. The Bible tells us that the body is important to God, our body, and that God will take care of it and give us what we need for that body. The Bible tells us that there is not things that he gives us are not sinful, and that it's not a mark of spirituality if you simply have and indifference to earthly things. We must have moderation for sure, but those things are not sinful of themselves. Secondly, the Lord says, give us this day our daily bread. Now in that, the Lord is not forbidding that us to have proper stewardship and proper planning. And the Bible itself uses the words that we are to lay up in store. We are to be wise stewards of the earthly gifts, and therefore we have a budget. We plan a budget for the month or for the year. We have careful planning because we want to use the goods that the Master has entrusted in a wise way. But when the Lord says, give us this day our daily bread, He reminds us that our need is nevertheless this moment, moment by moment. And that many of the things that we have laid up for the next day, they can't help us today, and we might not even need them in the will of God. And so the idea is, give us this day that which is coming to me. Or Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 captures it when we read, feed me with food convenient for me today. A little baby can't eat yet a piece of bread, so we pray, provide them milk or formula. A need of a married man today is more than the need of a single man. They're not the same. We have allergies. We might need a gluten-free diet. We might be aged and we need pureed food. Feed me with the food that is convenient, that is necessary for me today. What I need today, according to God's counsel. As God has seen to what our life is, and that God in His eternal will and decree has willed that our life will glorify His name and His kingdom and His will, give to me what I need, as Thou hast planned my life. Give to me that today. And the third thing that we need to clear up, if only briefly, is what I trust you feel with me when I come to this petition, and that is embarrassment. It sounds almost silly. Give us this day our daily bread. Our tables, every one of our tables in just a few hours are going to be heavy. And what do we say about daily bread? Don't eat too much. Don't eat too much. And there will be leftovers. And so we might think, is this prayer really for me? You've emphasized that it's bread, it's necessity for this day. Isn't this really a prayer for the have-nots, for those who are down and out, for saints who are in Ethiopia, for saints who are in India? Or are we praying this petition to prepare ourselves for that last day when we may well experience want, when we hallow the name of God, when we seek His kingdom, and when we do His will in the kingdom of the Antichrist? Are we praying about that day? Give us bread then, Lord. But right now, you know, we're doing quite well. We're doing very well. We really don't need to pray for the necessities of the day. Aren't they back home? Don't you have them already? Far more than you need. The answer to that is no. No, when we sit down today at a heavy laden table, we must pray, and we must pray without exception. Give to me. Give to me what I need for the body today. Because it's all His, and none of it has any power to nourish us unless He be pleased to use it. And so we can see that the principles under this petition are two spiritual principles. Jesus is teaching us we are dependent. We are dependent. That's that word, give. Give us this day. The word is an admission. When we say give, it's an admission that it's not ours and we don't have the power to get it, but that God has to put it into our hands. And so we saw from the psalmist that it was God who put all of these things into the hands of His creatures and into our hands. And you remember, perhaps Deuteronomy chapter 8, God speaks to Israel that when they come into that land of Canaan, which is going to have vineyards and going to have mountains filled with ore and copper and streams and all types of things, and they will simply receive them. God warns them, now be careful. You be careful in this abundance that you don't begin to say, by my power and by my might, the might of my hand, I have gotten this wealth. For it is the Lord thy God who giveth these things to you. When you fill out, if you do your own income tax, or your tax accountant asks you, and he asks you, how many dependents in your house? And the income tax form is referring to children. Not referring to you. How many dependents? And you say, you put that down. But when we come before God, how many dependents in your house? All of us. Every one of us. We're dependent. And secondly, the principle is that the fourth petition is teaching us the purpose of the earthly things. We haven't forgotten the first three petitions. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The purpose, we're asking for necessities in order that we might use those things for the purpose that God gives them, which is to hallow His name, to seek His kingdom, and to do His will. That's why He gives us the necessities of the body. That's the purpose of all earthly possessions that God puts into your hand. The world, according to Scripture, consumes them. They consume, they take the gift of God and they consume it upon themselves and they use it for themselves. The child of God, by grace, is antithetical. He's totally different. He's an alien from this world. He wants to use them not for himself, his name, his dominion, his will, but for God's. For God's. Earthly things have one purpose. God gives you earthly things. It makes no difference what it is, for one purpose. To glorify Him and thank Him, to seek His kingdom and to do His will. So in this petition, we pray for earthly necessities of the body, and we do so because we are dependent. God has to give them to us, and we do so because we know God has a purpose for our earthly life. The first three petitions. And so our attitude toward those earthly things that He gives is first of all thanksgiving. The Catechism says, we acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. We thank God. We thank God for providing our need. And as I said, He has done so. He has seen fit to do so in rich abundance. It's not the economy that has done this. It's not the soil. It's not even the rain. It's not industry. It is God. The word thanksgiving in the Old Testament a word for thanksgiving in the Old Testament, picturesque language, is a picture of a man's hands. They're empty. And this man's hands are pointing to everything around him in his house. His children, everything. And then these hands point to himself. And then he puts his hands up to heaven. That's thanksgiving. You look at everything. You look at yourself. And you ascribe it to the overflowing fountain of all good. And I confess, I made none of it. I have the power to make none of it. I deserve none of it. But God in love takes thought for me. For He is God, and I'm His creature. Secondly, our attitude will be love. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying to our Father who art in heaven. We're praying for God's blessing upon all of His children. God, the necessity of life for the children of God, for others. We're not praying just for ourselves. This is the reason that God gives to us abundance and more than we personally need. This is why God blesses our work, so that we may pray, give us this day our daily bread, that we may freely give those in need as God has freely entrusted it to us. Ephesians 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Don't get your earthly needs through wicked manner. But rather, let him labor with his hands. That's the way God gives us the daily bread. Why? That he may, the thing that is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. James 1, 27, pure religion and undefiled is this, to remember the fatherless and widow in their affliction. Acts 4, verse 32, they had all things in common, neither said any man the things were his own, but they used them. They used their private property, what God gave to them, to help those who were in need. 1 John 3:17. But whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? The third attitude will be contentment. We had already seen way back in Lord's Day 10 that the Lord's Day 10 told us that we would have to pray to be thankful in prosperity. In prosperity. And it seems that the more God gives to us, the more our flesh becomes greedy. And no matter how much the Lord gives to us, if somebody else has more, that bothers us. We look at something and we say, I don't have that. I should have that. I deserve that. I want to have that. I can't be happy unless I have that. God requires of us to say the words of the apostles, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. To be content with what Father has placed into my hands, knowing that behind this is the tender care, the perfect wisdom of Almighty God, and that I'm concerned only to use what He has given me as a faithful steward and thankfulness to Him. That's so contrary to the grab more mentality of our world. And finally, obedience. The prayer requires of us thankfulness, contentment, love, and obedience. For God is pleased to supply that bread through work. Let him labor with his hands the thing that is good. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10 says it more dramatically. If a man will not work, if he won't work, neither should he eat. And so the book of Proverbs, go to the anthill, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And so we're praying here not just with words, but we're praying here with action. Give us this day our daily bread. Bless me as I go to find a job, as I work. Give me skill to work, whereby thou dost supply my need. This is the raven's cry that we give today. Give us our daily bread, for we're dependent. God's going to give these things for a purpose, to glorify Him. We are to be thankful. We are to love Him, be content, and obedient. The Catechism goes on to say that this is a prayer for blessing. The Catechism goes deeper and says that Jesus teaches us not simply to ask for physical needs, but that Jesus is teaching us to pray for God's blessing with the physical needs, and that's important. As a very important clause in the Heidelberg Catechism and in our creeds, when we read that neither our care nor industry nor even His gifts can profit us without His blessing. That distinguishes the earthly thing that God gives us and the blessing. Is not per se the same thing. The blessing may be added with the thing, but don't confuse them. Let's not go home and point to all the things that God has given to us and say, these are God's blessings. They may indeed be a blessing to you, but bread and home and business and possession and wealth, in themselves, these good things are not blessing in themselves. The wicked are given them by God too. And that's not a blessing. But Proverbs says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, for they do not use the gift to God's service. Blessing is added to the gift. Blessing is the attitude in which God gives the gift. Blessing is found in the grace of God working in us to use the gift. We may receive His gifts, but those gifts are not blessing to us unless God gives them to us in His favor and the grace to use them in His service. Jesus put it this way. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. From God, she left the tent with Abraham and privation, and she and her husband moved to Sodom, and they prospered. His business prospered. Her home began to have everything she could ever want. But her heart was not right with God. Her heart became like a vine twisted around all of those possessions. She did not carefully use them, service of God. She put her treasure on those things. And when she had to leave them, she could not leave them. she turned around and became a pillar of salt, it would have been better that she had never received them than for her to clutch them and seek her life in them. Common grace is a false doctrine. The teaching that God, by giving all things, the rain and the sunshine, the bread, to all, displays that He has a grace that won't save them, but certainly is favorable to them, an attitude of favor to them. That's to say, if God gives you ability and things, He is blessing you. No. No, He's not. Not per se. Psalm 73, Asaph thought that God was blessing the wicked because they had more than he did. He served God, and he had trouble. The wicked, their life hardly had a bump on the road until he went to the temple, and he saw that God was setting them in slippery places to bring them down unto destruction. He saw that without God's blessing, those things only left them exposed to God for the sin of thankfulness. They received it, and they did not thank Him. They did not use it for the glory of the King. We pray not just for necessity. We pray for God's blessing on that necessity. We pray that we do not consume these things to ourselves, but that God sanctify these things to us. We pray that we do not sell our soul to them, but that rather we sell them for the good of others. We pray that God will give us these things to aid us in our sanctification. Give me bread so that I might enjoy the forgiveness of sins, fifth petition, and so that with earthly strength I may walk against temptation and not be led into evil. We're not asking for bread alone. We're asking for blessing. For without the blessing, they can't profit me. Jesus said, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You can be successful. You can run in the fast lane. You can be the best in your field. You can. But that's not necessarily an indication of God's blessing. God's blessing is that you have done all these things unashamedly as His son and daughter, seeking His kingdom, His will, and His glory. And so the bottom line, according to our catechism, of the fourth petition is, teach us to withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. We pray for trust. The great danger that we have in the affluence of our society and the desire that we get our part of that affluence, the great danger we face as God's children is the evil of self-reliance. That we begin to think that we are able, that we are smart, we are gifted, we're hardworking, we've got a good work ethic, and we've got enough to tackle any problem. We can handle it. But the reality is, God tells us, the reality is that He can bring in an hour, in a moment, the counsel of nations to naught, and He can reduce any man. He can reduce any man and any country and any economy. He can reduce us to our knees. The book of Proverbs says, riches have wings, and they fly away. Psalm 62, when riches increase, do not set your heart upon them.
Once have I heard this, twice has he spoken, power belongeth unto the Lord. And that's why the petition is so important. The simple act of praying on our knees, give me today my necessities, is a sign of humility and wisdom and dependence. And now have we come to the reason why we can be prayerless. We're in the Lord's school to learn prayer through these petitions. And when we think about having devotions, I as a pastor immediately turn mine to discipline. And then I preach to you about the need for management of our time. And don't say you're too busy. But that's not really the reason why prayer is so difficult. It's not just discipline. It's not just management of my time. Yes, that's involved. But there's a basic reason. I'm prayerless when I don't know my need, when I don't know reality that I am dust and I can do nothing without him. And we don't ask because we don't think we need, and until we really need, we don't ask. We got money in the bank, we got a good doctor, we got powerful people on our side. We have four walls. We got more than four walls to go home to. We got a refrigerator full. Prayerlessness is the expression of not knowing my need. Prayerlessness is the reflection of self-reliance. We must offer the raven's cry. We must offer the cry of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We do not need to bring to God. I'm not saying that our prayers should not be thought out and carefully crafted in their words. I'm not saying that. But you don't need to wait to pray to God when you have a perfect prayer and you have flowing words and you're able to pray like him or like her. And you don't need to have everything in order in your house. You're on top of it. All's good. And now you can pray. You don't need that. You need a broken heart. You need to know your need. You need to croak like a raven. And the Lord will help you. For he hears the raven's cry. If we do not talk to God about the earthly needs, it's because we're self-reliant. Those who have nothing, are nothing, can do nothing, can only pray, give me my daily bread. And our Father, who is all, has all, and can do all, will answer you. Amen. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy precious word. We pray that its truths may sink into our hearts. Fashion us more and more after the pattern given to us in the Lord's Prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.